Hey everyone, welcome back to Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 13 of the podcast, and today we are doing Flash Alternate History 3. And just a brief reminder in case you don't know what it is, it's essentially we bring up a topic and we discuss it for a minute or two without really doing any preliminary research, or just off the top of our hands. It's pretty nice, it keeps the conversation flowing and engaging, and it's quick-paced. So let's get started. So, I will start off the first topic. So, what if there was no oil in the Middle East? How would that region geopolitically be, and what would stability be like?
Well, Saudi Arabia wouldn't even exist to begin with, mainly because of the fact that Saudi Arabia nowadays is literally can't even survive without oil. And you see that's kind of a big problem as to terms of if you look at modern Saudi society, that a majority now they're trying to focus more in terms of I believe tech jobs, actually, as a matter of fact. But of course, the Saudis are all built on oil money, just as a couple other nations are. But overall, I think that, for example, Saudi Arabia would not exist to begin with. And as to who would be the dominant geopolitical power, that's a tough question here. Well, number one, we know America probably wouldn't be too involved because America loves oil. That's a joke in all honesty. But that's hard. I have to predict either Turkey or Persia. Because Persia, I wouldn't say Israel would be one. But Persia would, I think Persia, mainly because Iran right now is already pretty powerful and has a lot of influence in, say, Iraq, for example, along with Syria, I believe, as well. I know Iraq for sure, but I'm not so sure about Syria. But I think Iran could become a potential power player, especially among the federations that would be in consist of the Arab tribes. Or it could potentially be, I believe, maybe Turkey. Because, it'd be more in terms of, right now it probably would be Iran, but I think Turkey become a potential threat to their hegemony in the future. Because my opinion with it is that Turkey is industrializing right now, as a matter of fact, and I think that it's only a matter of time until Turkey reaches its apex. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, Turkey already has become a major military player in the field, and it's definitely getting the way of the Iranians feel, because I mean they're not necessarily on the same side as the Saudis, but generally speaking Turkey doesn't agree with Iran. So in this scenario, Iran's definitely gonna have some issues overall. And another thing I wanted to talk about is that I think the Middle East overall, as you said, would not be prosperous, but I'm not talking about now. I mean, even the past, the 20th century started to see the rise of oil in the Middle East and all these European countries buying from them. So I think the Middle East would kind of just be this desolate land that no one really wants. Like the British aren't going to really necessarily colonize it. Or it might be the forgotten colonies kind of. Not. It's going to be this land that no one really cares about, I feel like. It's just going to be like, oh, it's there. It's not going to have any significance or anything.
My next topic here is actually, what if President Abraham Lincoln survived the assassination attempt, or if it just never happened at all? And the reason why I say this is because of the fact is that Abraham Lincoln would have had such a major impact, specifically with Reconstruction, because in actual history, as you may know, Andrew Johnson was more of a compromise candidate and was basically a Democrat, in other words. I believe he was actually a Democrat, and the only reason why he was chosen was two reasons why he was chosen. Number one is because he was a Southerner. I believe from the state of Kentucky, if I'm exact. I might be wrong. Maybe Tennessee. It's either Kentucky or Tennessee. Don't quote me on that. But he was chosen as more so as a compromise to the South, to ease up relations after the Civil War, because the Union was fast-tracking to win the Civil War. And so I think in this scenario, for example, I think Reconstruction would be radically different. And I can't say exactly how different it would be, but it would definitely be not as I would say almost worthless as Reconstruction was in our history, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, President Lincoln, he had some grand plans for Reconstruction. I mean, he really wanted to change the cultural landscape. He kind of wanted to fix racism in the country, and he wanted to essentially fix like all these problems that have been plaguing slavery. He wanted to give opportunities to these new freed peoples, and he wanted to make the economy prosper with this new workforce, this new amount of people that can go into the workforce. And kind of just boost the economic output. But instead, with Andrew Johnson, he just kind of helped to appease the South. So I think Abraham Lincoln's going to have this grand push on Reconstruction. And I think overall, Reconstruction is going to be successful. And race relations are going to be a lot better. And the tensions are going to ease. And I think really, by the time we had our civil rights movement in the 60s, I think there wouldn't need to be a civil rights movement, because the two races and everyone would be getting along, I think.
Well, to be fair, I don't know if exactly that would work out specifically in the South, because I don't know how long the Union could keep their army in the South realistically, because the only reason why that, for example, like Jim Crow laws were able to take place along with specifically like voter harassment of African American voters was because of the fact that the Union army was rid of as a result of the election of 1876's compromise. And I feel as if I think the civil rights movement will definitely come earlier. Maybe say like the 30s or 40s when there's a lot of strife because of the Great Depression. Overall, I think that would actually, in fact, I think we would actually increase the power of the presidency today. I don't know by how much, but Abraham Lincoln was known as a dictator back then, to be fair, and he was quite authoritarian actually compared to even the previous president, which was James Buchanan. And I mean, James Buchanan really didn't do much during his presidency besides let the South leave, but that's really it.
I mean, yeah, you're definitely right, because it really does depend on how long they make the allow the federal troops to stay there. But I think overall this world is going to be better because Reconstruction, as I was saying, Lincoln had grand plans for Reconstruction. He wanted to make it the one time and the only one time we'll need to fix up the whole situation in the country. And if he was successful, it could have been that one time. We wouldn't need then, like the as I said, the civil rights movement, voter registration. That would be that one and only time that we really need. And then on that, America would be set on the right path. But now let's move to the next topic. I think, what if Napoleon successfully invaded Russia? I think this is a really big one, definitely so.
So putting up Napoleon invading Russia, that's a very interesting scenario, as a matter of fact. And I have a think for a second here in terms of how huge this would be. For example, we'd see the French have control over the entirety of Europe, with the exception of Britain, of course. And I think we'd see it in terms of more. I don't know what land would be lost. Maybe the potential of a bigger Poland, because Warsaw actually existed during that time period. As Poland created Napoleon created a puppet for Poland of Poland. To be fair, this would have huge consequences on geopolitics. It's like it's way too much to even talk about, besides the fact that Ru Russia was conquered by France. And I think not only that, I think it just leaves a lot to question, as a matter of fact. I mean, I don't really have much to say because it's so much, but I think one thing that would be huge is, especially with military historians per se, the point of view of mil that military historians would have is because that the conception that Russia's uninvadable would be shattered by Napoleon, and that basically leads to a French-dominated Europe, and France would probably go on to have a lot more other territorial ambitions, maybe directly com definitely com directly competing with Great Britain.
France would essentially be this European superpower. I mean, as you said, they have all of Europe under their knees, and Britain alone can't stop them because Britain might have the navy, but they don't have the manpower or the funds or the weapons to just stop them alone. And I think really the only way Napoleon's empire is going to come apart is through internal stability, because there's no way that all those people are going to submit to France, especially Russia. I don't think all those people are going to submit, and eventually Napoleon's empire is going to crumble beneath his knees. But I think over European France would be a regional superpower, and Britain would kind of just be scared, and because they can't do anything about it. Now they just have this massive empire that the only thing protecting them from this is water. So really, France could do anything. They could try to even invade Britain multiple times, and Britain only has the water to help them. They don't really have weapons or the men to defend the homeland, just navy ships. But I think, as I said, I think the only way this would really end, this nightmare for Britain would end, was again, Napoleon's world would crumble beneath him.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I don't really have any criticisms or other things to point out there, as a matter of fact. So I'll move it on to the next topic, as a matter of fact. And what do you think would happen with Operation Downfall? And I think it's more so a cultural impact on the United States, besides the fact that America would have to invade Japan. How do you think that would impact the culture of America per se? Like, for example, I would say with the Operation Downfall, which would be the World War II invasion of Japan that was supposed to happen if the atomic bombs did not get dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I believe it was about to kill an estimated 1 million, if I'm correct here, and that's where the Purple Heart actually originated from, as a matter of fact. And in terms of a cultural impact, I think that would have a much bigger impact. And I think that we'd potentially see the actual Japanese side of the conflict to be the bigger part of the war. Like, don't get me wrong, in how I would view it, at least, is I viewed it at least that Germany was the more important threat here. Of course, they would be the more important threat because they not only threatened Great Britain, but they also threatened the Soviet Union. But in the American view of history, I think that we would actually see a flip saying that the Japanese were actually the most important ones. Now, as to who that, how that would stain, for example, President Truman's legacy, I think that would definitely stain it for sure. And I think it would also raise the legacy of maybe, for example, maybe Douglas MacArthur for as well. And any future implications? I don't think so, because for example, MacArthur actually ran for the Republican nomination in 1948. I don't think that that boost from Japan would lead to the Republican nomination in 48. And overall, I think that the immediate impact, besides like the population hit that we would take after World War II, like and actually still affecting us now, would be because of that. But it would also be such a cultural hit in the future. I think that would be much. I don't know how how our relations would be with Japan, though. What do you think about that? What do you think our foreign relations would
Yeah,
be with
Operation
Japan?
Downfall would literally just result in like this world being a mess. Because forget about American casualties for a second. Japanese civilian casualties were estimated to be high. They were, I think, in the tens of millions of Japanese civilians were to be lost. That's what the
Well,
estimates.
yeah. To be fair, though, just to add on that, the Japanese mindset, like the Japanese civilian and military mindset, was that they were going to die for their country no matter what.
Yeah,
And I
but
would
I
say,
mean,
like,
still the
that's actually
numbers. The numbers are still huge, no
no,
matter like that
yeah.
what
Like I was
mindset.
saying, though, like I forgot who it was, but he made an interesting book about like the six main factors that like the six main factors that drive society. I believe it was. I don't remember exactly what I'm talking about. There's authority, loyalty, purity. If you guys understand what I'm talking about, you'll get what I mean. There's also liberty, harm, and fairness. And one society I see as being the biggest example of loyalty, like extreme loyalty, would be Imperial Japan, because the reason why that so many of these guys would potentially die, the citizens, I mean, would be because of the fact is that they would have to resist American occupation. But besides that, they would literally kill themselves, commit seppuku specifically, just so that they did not get captured by the Americans or whatnot. And to think that that level of extreme fanaticism in terms of loyalty in a society is actually capable, imagine what we would do. Imagine a society like that today. And I mean, the closest you could say to that is North Korea, but I'm pretty sure they would not kill themselves for Kim Jong-un, to be fair.
I mean, yeah, 100%. That's why casualty rates are supposed to be so high. And I mean, the American soldiers are just going to have such a tough time. I mean, you can kind of somewhat compare it to the Americans' invasion of Afghanistan fighting the Taliban, because the Taliban definitely did use like IEDs, suicide bombers, that kind of guerrilla warfare, for example. So first, you're going to have the Americans doing street to street combat, clearing each and every corner against Japanese military, and then you're going to have the occupation forces having to deal with, again, Japanese civilians messing with explosives and that kind of guerrilla warfare style. So it's just going to be a really mess, and it's going to be impossible to keep. I mean, really, the only way I feel like for the Americans to kind of win this would be to take out the Japanese leadership as swiftly as possible to kind of just end it. And as for culturally speaking, this would not go into the history books like positive light, because World War II doesn't have a positive light. But at the end of the day, like World War II, at least in American culture, definitely has a much more nicer tone than European culture, because we end it. We see at the end of World War II, we see the rise of the baby boomer generation, the largest generation in the United States ever. And you just see there's so many film roles of happy couples reuniting. I don't think that kind of culture would be there. I don't think that. I think it would be more of a really depressing culture, because instead of their loved ones coming back home, their loved ones would be coming back in a carcass, in a body bag. So I think just culture would be really depressing. And this era is gonna be looked at more with a European lens, where it's very depressing and not great for the economy or the people overall. I think the US is going to be a lot more hesitant about invasions and land invasions overall with this mess that they had to deal with. Because Vietnam, if you think about it, was somewhat similar, because the Vietnamese were constantly engaged in guerrilla warfare. That's why the US couldn't really do anything, because They had Saigon. They had a good amount of the major cities. But the issue is the Ho Chi Minh Trail kept on getting munitions and supplies for these guerrilla warfare fighters who would keep on harassing U.S. troops. So I think that the U.S. would be more hesitant in getting involved in foreign conflicts like Korea and Nam.
All right, so two things. Number one, the Japanese would be using IEDs in 1945. Interesting, Rohan.
That's not. I said explosives.
I'm just joking with you. And, well, and two, to my point, I think one more thing to add on. I liked how you used specific, you were referring to like the European lens of World War II specifically. And you can tell, I think the baby boomer, like the baby boomers who are actually still in charge today, as a matter of fact. For example, if you look in Germany, it is still radically anti-Nazi. And it's actually impressive how well denazification worked. I mean, it wouldn't have been too hard to get rid of 10% of the population's views, but you thought at least that would somewhat still impact elections to this day. And I don't know too much about German politics, so I might be wrong here. But overall, if you look at Germany right now, they're not the young generation, but more so the ones who were in charge, the baby boomers, they're radically anti-Nazi. And I don't think that would be put in place in America, but I just like how you put that European depression like point of view, and that's how I would emphasize it. That's just an example I was giving.
Yeah, Nick. I mean, I think the European lens is definitely a big one. It's going to change how we view war in general in this country. But overall, I think that's enough for today. Let us know how you felt about this episode. And if you're interested in more Flash Alternate History, let us know. Contact us on our socials, at BackToThePastP1 on Twitter, Instagram, and let us know. And please leave a review, because it allows others just like you to find our podcast and enjoy it, and it also lets us improve. Please visit ratethispodcast.com/althistory for an easy way to review. It'll take you directly to your platform of choice where you can leave a review, and it greatly helps us improve. And it helps people like you find our podcast. And until next time, have a great rest of your day.